Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's Easter Sunday. Surprised? No. I didn't think so. You faked it pretty good. But it's not too surprising. It's sort of like Easter Sunday is kind of like throwing a surprise party, but wink, wink. We know it's coming, but let's all pretend it isn't, okay? And that's fine. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Easter is our surprising day. But it doesn't just stay that way. That is a day that we, you know, dip our hats to and leave it at that. It's a surprising day because it's a day that has ongoing implications. And it's hard to make that work. I mean, you know, we try different things. I remember a story many years ago. Some of you may be familiar with this. There were some who were actually there. I never met anybody who was there, but I certainly heard about it. You know the name William Sloan Coffin, the famous preacher from New York of some years back at the large cathedral there. Well, one Easter Sunday morning, the congregation begins to gather for the early service. And the church is pitch black when they walk in, except for a couple of candles up front burning quietly, softly, and a large casket between them. Well, the congregation filters in, nervously take their places, and they start looking around at this casket and saying, "What's going on here today? Are we in the wrong church? You know somebody that died?" And so the congregation keeps coming, and finally it's of course a large church, and it fills up, and now there's a lot of murmuring in the pews. You know, I feel like I'm at a funeral. Comments like that. And then, right at the stroke of the hour, all the lights went on in this large church. The organ just blasted. Trumpets blared from the balcony, and the lid of the coffin flew open, and out jumped William Sloan Coffin saying, "Christ is risen!" After the service, one of the guys came by him with the door and he said, "Christ may be risen, but I think you may be fired." He almost killed me. Heart attack. Well, he was doing his best, you know, to put some surprise into the party that we already know is going to happen. You know, we try to do things like that once in a while. Well, they're kind of gimmicky, you know. Maybe you've been in a gimmicky church or two. Gimmicks go about as far as they go. I mean, and it's over, and now we're left with the reality of things again. That's how it works with gimmicks. Well, today, Matthew, the gospel writer, tells us the story of the resurrection. And we have a picture of some women. And we know the story, we're familiar with it. The gospel writers tell us about this in various ways. The women are coming now, it's early in the morning, and they're coming to the tomb. They're going to the cemetery to pay the final respects, make the last preparations for Jesus' burial. This is kind of a poignant scene, isn't it? And it's poignant because a lot of us have done this. In my vocation, of course, I've done a lot more than most people. I've walked across a lot of gravestones and through a lot of graveyards with people, making that last visit, attending to that last moment. And I know many of you have also made that walk. Well, that was the walk they were making that morning. And like those of us who've done it, you know, you sort of take a deep breath. Maybe you're crying softly. You know, you have that feeling in the pit of your stomach, and you just have to get through it. It's just hard, but you have to get through it. It's tough. They, I'm sure, were no different than we are as they approached that grave. They were resigned to the dead certainty of it. That's how it works when you go to the cemetery. I was visiting with a mortician up at Pacific View some years ago at a funeral. They'd asked me to help with somebody who didn't have a church and they needed some help. And so I was standing with him and off to the side, and the family was by the grave and they were speaking quietly to one another, you know, as families do. And the mortician leaned over to me and he said, forgive me, Pastor, but just once I'd like to see a resurrection happen here instead of a burial. Well, that's the surprising thing about this story. It did. What do you say? They were there, they were ready to do their business as good mourners do, and all of a sudden, all the gospel writers now start piling words in to try to describe what happened. It's chaotic, it's mysterious, it's marvelous, it's frightening, it's amazing. There's angels and there's noise and there's stones and there's soldiers and there's light and there's confusion, but there's no Jesus. There's no Jesus. He's gone. He's been raised, the angel says to the women. He's not here. I served with a pastor up in Fullerton many years ago. Ken Hartsheim, he's gone to the Lord now, but on his tombstone, you know what it says? He is not here. I wish I'd have thought of that. It's brilliant. What are you standing here for? You know? He's not here. Well, the angel said, he's not here. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, right? You got the right cemetery, okay? But you're too late. He's not here. He's gone. He's been raised. He's gone. He's gone ahead of you. That's really a great thing to hear, isn't it? He's gone ahead of you through this, and now out ahead of you. Through suffering, through death, and now he's out in front. Yeah, I totally agree. It's hard to keep quiet when you know something like that happened. He's not here. Well, these are the Good Friday people, you know, standing there at the tomb. And then, of course, it wasn't long before they finally, in fear and hope, they ran back to the disciples. And then we know from other gospel narratives that a couple of them ran out to the tomb as fast as they could to take a look, and sure enough, he was gone. So now here we are. We're here are these Good Friday people, the betrayers, the deniers, the sinners. He's up. He's gone. He's on the loose. We may be in trouble. I mean, what would you expect from someone who you had a hand in betraying and denying, who got himself killed, and then you heard that he's back? You know, it's like sort of that guy who gets out of prison, who did terrible things, and now he's back in the neighborhood. Well, you know, I don't think they probably went that far. They knew Jesus probably a little better than that. But now what do they expect? What do they expect now that he is back? They who betrayed and denied, as they say, who all deserted him, only the women were left, kind of there standing in the shadows on the hill as he was crucified, a few of the women, and finally, John, the beloved, the rest of them nowhere to be seen. The angel says, go, tell everyone to go to Galilee, to go home, and he'll be there. Go home. Don't stand around the graveyard. He's not here anymore. He's gone home. You go home. He's got things for you to do. There's a new life awaiting you because the old life, the old you, has just been put to death with him. That's Paul's language, you know, in the New Testament. He talks about the old sinner, the old man, the old woman, the old Adam, the old Eve, and the new person. When Christ Jesus was raised from the dead, it became now possible to be a new person, a different person, filled with his love, filled with his spirit, and not persons who simply have to resign themselves to the dead certainties of life. It's just the way it is. There's nothing we can do about it. Well, that may be true. There isn't much we can do about a lot of things, but if our lives are in the hands of the one who raised Jesus from the dead, then there probably isn't anything that can't happen to open our future, if that's the guy who has a hold of us. Now, Easter Sunday is a Sunday when it's important to have some testimony here. I mean, that's part of my job, of course, as the pastor. And we hear that in the text, you know, from Acts. We're witnesses. This witnessing to the resurrection is like a tag team event. I'm standing here in this little congregation. There are thousands like it, of course, meeting today. But I'm standing here in front of you this morning as one who, in this long chain through the centuries of witnesses, has met Jesus. That's why I'm here. This isn't my job. It's my life. To announce the resurrection and the cross, you see, is the joy of our faith. Not just the preacher, but anyone who witnesses to Jesus Christ and what he has done. So this morning, in your hearing, the resurrection is now again being announced from a witness, one who has been raised from the dead, which is me, the old sinner, made new through baptism because of Christ. It happens. It's happened to many of you, I'm sure. And if some of you aren't so sure this morning, well, you know, that may be a question you came with here this morning, but you may leave differently. See? This is my cheering section down here today. Better be careful, she may become a preacher, then you're in real trouble. Well, let's talk about that for a moment. This new life, this surprising reversal, what does it do? What does it look like? Linda and I were in Rome last year. We like to go there. It's not because we're crypto Catholics, it's just that we like Rome. And one of the things we did is we walked out the Appian Way one morning to the catacombs of St. Callistus outside the old city. Anybody ever been to the catacombs? Yeah. So you know, get the feel of it, don't you? Yeah, you know what it's like. What's interesting about the catacombs, I mean, there's lots of things, but what for our purposes this morning, what's interesting about the catacombs was that the Romans never went out there at night. They were terrified to go outside at night, and particularly to go into the graveyard. It was just full of all kinds of, you know, bad nasties, evil spirits and stuff. But guess who worshipped in the graveyard at night? We did! How come? You know that bumper sticker? No fear. No fear of the night. No fear of the dark. The Bible says, awake, O sleeper, and Christ will give you life. Walk in the light as he is in the light. The Christians worshipped in the graveyard because they weren't afraid to. They went into the bowels of death, right down into the tombs, right down into the corpses, and they said, Christ is alive. Hallelujah. Those are people whose lives had changed. Something had happened to them. What happened to them was Christ Jesus had gone before them in the witnesses, called through the gospel these people to a new life, the life that many of us here know, the baptized life, the life lived in and with Jesus Christ. So he opens the future. That's his job. That's what he does. That's what Christ came out of the tomb to do. Open your future. Anybody concerned about tomorrow? Your future? Nah, we don't care about that, do we? Never give it a thought. Right? That's why we're not always scrambling to get our portfolios organized and worrying about our jobs and our families and yada, 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 yada. Of course we care about our future. Absolutely we do. But what we've noticed about life is that it's very unpredictable. Doesn't always go the way we want. In fact, sometimes the struggle just is to go anywhere. So I was thinking about this. Preachers think about strange things at strange times. This is another traveling story. I'm going to embarrass my wife again here. This time we're in Bangkok, okay? Long day of travel. Pull up to the hotel. Dark at night, late. And then as we went through and got, something occurred to me. That from the time we stepped out of the car, dead tired, until we flopped down on the bed in the room, somebody else had been opening the doors. I thought, wow, what a great thing. You drag yourself into this tired future you've got now because of this long day, and the doors just keep opening. And there's this fellow who's going along ahead of you. You know, that's Jesus. That's what God is doing to us, for us. He's opening tomorrow. Now, you know, let's get real here. We're not a bunch of hopeless Christian romantics here and idealists. I mean, I'm not trying to suggest that every door that opens in tomorrow is going to always greet us with a lot of pleasantries. I mean, we know better than that. We're not fools. Life isn't always that way. But the point is that if God can take a dead Jesus and make him an alive Jesus, if he can open the door of a tomb and bring life out of death, there isn't any kind of obstacle that our lives confront that ultimately God cannot deal with. Now, sometimes it's a struggle. We know that. You know, we Lutherans, I don't promise you that if you become a Christian, everything's going to be great. You know, I know people say that, but I'm here to tell you this morning, you can disabuse yourself of that notion, okay? It's okay. You can let that one go, because I know how much trouble it can cause if you try to live that way. It doesn't work. But what does happen as we go through life, as we struggle with the fears and the hopes, and try to juggle all of this, the Christian has the experience of this continually opening future of promise. Not always easy, but it's there. So there's a kind of confidence that comes with Christian faith, as a kind of bedrock assurance that not everything's going to be great, but that no matter what, tomorrow's door is going to open, and Jesus is the guy who's swinging it open for me. Well, there's a lot that could be said and is being said today, and probably should have been said here that I didn't get around to because I'm frankly not up to it, but I've done the best that I could. What I want you to know this morning is that Christ is risen, indeed. And as we come today to this supper that he has prepared for us, this is yet another way in which the risen Lord makes himself known. Someone once asked me, what does Jesus look like? I said, well, I don't know what he looked like, but I do know what he looks like in terms of what he does. He creates gatherings like this. He brings people together. He creates a community. And this is what happened on that first Easter, isn't it? Go to Galilee, all of you. Head north. He's going to gather you together. And then you will become a community of witnesses. And that's what we are. We're a community of witnesses that Jesus gathers around himself in word and sacrament to bear witness to what he has done. To bear witness to Good Friday people like us, the deniers and the betrayers and the sinners. To bear witness to us that his love is greater than death, greater than our sins. We are forgiven for his sake, and now we can move into the door of tomorrow with the confidence and the assurance that life is not against us, it is for us. We're not Pollyanna people here. I'm not talking about some kind of sugar-coated Christianity, but I'm talking about the nitty-gritty of God's grace in the midst of the reality of life. And if he can take beaten and bloodied Jesus and raise him from the dead, and he can take whatever remnants of our lives we think are irredeemable and make all things new. Christ is risen indeed for you. Amen.